Kia ora, good afternoon and welcome to the Rural News. I'm Eric Frickberg in Wellington.
And I'm Maya Burry in Christchurch. A review into the export of livestock has some farmers worried about the future viability of their businesses. The government launched the review after New Zealand and Australian cattle died after being shipped to Sri Lanka. Options being considered range from improving current systems to a total ban on livestock exports. Public consultation closed this week, with more than 3,500 submissions being lodged. Cattle shipments to China make up the majority of the live export trade. Last year, 32,000 cows were shipped to the country. Federated Farmers spokesperson Miles Anderson says banning the practice would be senseless and it had cut off a revenue stream for thousands of New Zealand farmers.
I mean, if you look at all the shipments that we've had out of New Zealand, I think you'd find that the standards have been very, very high. So, and the losses, as I said, on those boats have been exceptionally low, much lower than you'd get on farmed situations here in New Zealand. So that's a fairly good indicator of the standards of animal welfare that have been achieved over the years through continuously improving.
Brian Loughhead is the president of the New Zealand Boar Goat Breeders Association. He's exported goats in the past, usually by air freight, and says there's a lot of involvement from the Ministry for Primary Industries and vets to ensure the journey's a safe one. Mr. Loughhead is worried about what the outcome of the review could be.
We've had discussions with other goat groups, if you like, in terms of different breeds. Everyone's very concerned that if there is a ban, the viability of the industry going forward. And we've also got to remember that goat meat is the largest red meat consumed in the world.
Meanwhile, the animal advocacy group SAFE is pushing for a total ban on livestock exports. It also wants the rules extended to cover the export of chickens and fish. Spokesperson Mona Oliver says New Zealand needs to protect its reputation.
The government admit they have no ability to enforce our animal welfare standards once our animals leave our country. There's no way to eliminate the risks of live export. So transport by ship or plane is inherently stressful, and the only way to prevent another disaster is to end live export for good.
The Ministry for Primary Industry says it's now carefully analysing the submissions and will then provide advice to the Agriculture Minister on possible policy options.
The sawmill industry says subsidies overseas make it hard to run its business profitably. The comments follow the probable closure of a mill in Northland. Carter Holt Harvey has decided in principle to close its sawmill in Whangarei, but is consulting staff before making this final. It blames a serious shortage of logs that will only get worse. But Brian Stanley of the Wood Processors and Manufacturers Association says the logs that mills can get are way too expensive. And that's because subsidised sawmills in places like China allow buyers there to pay high prices for logs that are unrealistic for New Zealand mills.
We've seen three sawmills shut down in the past 12 months, and now a potential one up north, which probably will happen. That's a serious trend and something that everybody in the country needs to start thinking about.
Mr. Stanley says prices for logs in New Zealand have been driven up by foreign buyers exploiting subsidies provided by their own governments. In places like China, the subsidies encourage purchase of large numbers of logs at prices which would not be sustainable without government subsidies to keep sawmills busy. And this trend has been going on for many years, substantially undented by the drop in log prices last year.
It doesn't matter if the price in New Zealand comes down, because it's a relativity that's the issue. And the relativity is that we are paying somewhere between 80% to 100% more for logs than what our competitive countries are that we have to compete with globally. They can't compete against the Chinese who are getting subsidised. They can't compete against the Canadians. And also most of the European countries are subsidising. So what's it doing down here in New Zealand? It's pushing the price of logs up to the point that it's becoming really hard for our sawmillers to actually compete domestically. And when I talk about domestically, I'm talking about in New Zealand and Australia, where the domestic markets are.
Brian Stanley's comments follow a report last month by the economic consultancy Sense Partners, which found distortions in log trading in 39 countries. He says this is incompatible with free trade principles and the New Zealand government should take action.
Well, now for a positive news story. Four young women shore a formidable 2,066 strong wool lambs in 9 hours yesterday at a station near Turangi. The effort was lauded by the shearing great, Sir David Fagan, who says they took the sport to a new level. The top performer was gore shearer Megan Whitehead, who shore 608 lambs, taking 53.3 seconds for each one. Marlborough contractor Sarah Higgins shore 528 lambs, Peel Peel based Natalia Rangifa 507, and Amy Silcock from Wairarapa 423. Previous records covered individual results, but this will now enter the books as the first entry for a four-strong group of women shearers.
And time now for the latest from the sale yards around the country. To tell us more, we're joined by Suze Bremner, a senior analyst at AgriHQ. Suze, it's our first time for 2020. What's been happening this month?
It is, Eric, it is. So January is always a varied month at the sale yards, the sun just easing into the new year with small yardings, while others, it's all go. In the first week back, Tikawiti held cattle fairs every day, putting through just shy of 5,000 head. In the same week, Fielding also yarded 22,000 lambs, which was a huge start to the year and driven by dry conditions, but that did impact that market. Those dry conditions around much of the country have been felt in most of the markets, with prices for store stock starting on a softer note than 2019 finish. Falling schedules and tight processor space has had the same effect, unfortunately, on prime stock.
And what about sheep sales?
Well, ewe fairs have been a regular feature at North Island Yards since the sales kicked off, though results there have also been varied. Expectations were very high for prices and perhaps, unfortunately, a little too high, but for the most part, returns were very respectable. It was noted, though, that once the top lines were sold at all the fairs, competition did drop away, which meant we've seen a wider variance in prices than expected. At Matafair in Stortford, a few lines of Tudu exceeded $300, while other top lines were trading in the $200 plus range. 5-year ewes have been another big feature, but processors were not really underpinning this market because they're full at the moment. The better end of the 5-year ewes traded at $170 to $210, with most others varying from $120 to $165.
Thanks, Suze. That's Suze Bremner from AgriHQ.
And just finally, the British have been told to eat less meat, plant more trees, cut food waste and restore peatlands if they want to meet the nation's climate target of net zero emissions by 2050. Britain last year became the first member of the group of seven of leading industrialised countries to set a net zero target. Its citizens have now been told of the big measures they'll have to undertake to meet that goal. The comments came from the official body, the Committee on Climate Change. And that wraps up the rural news for this week. I'll be back again on Morning Report on Monday at 6:25 with another update for you. Until then, have a lovely weekend. Ka kite anō.